Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And on this week's show, we're going to celebrate the playoff winners in the Premier Division, the West Division, the Midlands Division, and the East Division. On this week's show, we're going to be joined by the chairman at Warrington Town, Toby McCormack. We're also going to be joined by the managers at Long Eaton United, Workington AFC, and Hales Owen Town. But we're going to kick the show off this week with the playoff final in the Premier Division from Monday afternoon. What a dramatic end to this game at Cantilever Park. A big commiserations to Bamber Bridge, but a massive congratulations to Warrington Town. Isaac Buckley Ricketts scoring in added time to see Warrington Town promoted to the National League North. And this week I caught up with the chairman at Warrington Town. It's a big welcome back to the show to Toby McCormack. Well, Toby, a big, big thank you for joining us and a huge congratulations. What an afternoon on Monday. We're recording this on Thursday. Have you calmed down yet?
Quite quickly. To be honest, it was a great day and a great night, but as true to form, we had a load of work, clean-up work to do on the Tuesday, so we were all back down there, Andy Dawes, on the Tuesday.
Blimey. Let's go back to the Monday game, and obviously, dramatic to say the least, with Buckley Ricketts scoring in stoppage time, Josh Amos getting sent off 10 minutes or so earlier. Dramatic stuff, to say the least.
Oh, definitely. You know, I said to a couple of people this week, you could work in the industry your whole life and not have a 90th minute playoff winning goal. And once Josh was sent off, all I could think about was Scarborough last year when we were down to 10. But you know, fortunately, we snatched that last minute winner.
Yeah, and in the build up to that, we have to mention the crowd. You know, 2,500 there at Cantilever Park, and to win the thing with a predominantly home crowd cheering you all on. That must really see you over the line.
Oh, yes. You know, we could have sold the venue out twice over. Demand completely outstripped supply for that final. And, you know, everybody sort of wanted to be there, you know, to see the achievement that it was.
Now, it is a great achievement, you know, promoted to the National League North. But I also have to throw into the mix as well, you know, you mentioned the Scarborough game. There's been other playoffs, the ridiculous situation with the Kings Lynn playoff as well. You have earned it, I have to say.
No, we have. And if you look at sort of the season that's gone by, we've done it off a really small squad. We've used 21 players all season. I think it's the smallest number in the league. And we've gone to some games with, three substitutes more often than not. In November, we weren't in the greatest of form. We'd started the season without Josh Amos through illness. And Jordan Buckley was injured. So Isaac Buckley Ricketts was our forward, and, that's not his position. So we sort of had a bit of a laboured start, and then of course once we got going, we got a fantastic run and got us to where we are. But based on the previous playoff finals, it really is an achievement. People said to me, you must be relieved, and whilst I am, it's not as big as the sense of achievement that I feel for it.
And touching upon that run, I mean, we've had Matt Beasley on, we had Dave Raven on last week, and that unbeaten run, I mean, ordinarily, when you look at it, if you'd won four of those games you drew, you probably would have had a better goals tally than South Shields and probably would have caught them up. It's been a phenomenal achievement this year, really.
Yeah, I'll go back to what I just said with the start. If we didn't have a bit of a... If we had a couple of goal scorers at the start of the season, everybody wants them, but when you... Jordan and Josh, I think, scored 32 goals between them last season. So when you're missing those from your starting lineup for the first 6-8 weeks of your season, it is going to affect you. So if we had those from the off, would we have eclipsed Shields or took it down to the final game? It's hard to say, but within that run, the momentum of that and the togetherness of the lads was what got them through it. And I think whilst we lost that unbeaten run at Shields, I think that sort of helped us really, because what we didn't want to do is go into the playoffs with that unbeaten run on your back. And we played Hyde the week after, and it just gave us a bit of a chance to reset and just focus on the playoffs really.
So what does this mean, Toby, for you personally as well? Because, a lot of effort has gone into this promotion to say the least, but you've finally done it. It's, the achievement you're after, getting into the National League North. I mean, what does it mean for you personally?
It's just, it's a goal that I've been striving to get to for many a season. You know, I've always said that the size of Warrington is 230,000 people here. I think it's the third biggest town in the UK with no Football League club. You know, it's absolutely screaming out for a club further up the pyramid. I think, you know, the demand for tickets for the final showed that. You know, if we'd have only sold 1,000 tickets for the final, I'd have been really concerned. But, you know, the average, the gates are up 200 average every season for the last few seasons. And, you know, as we've said, it sold out, and we could have sold it out twice. So it shows that the town really needs a club further up the pyramid. And it's great to see that, you know, I finally delivered that.
And you mentioned the work that went in after Monday's final, you know, straight back to work, cleaning up the stadium and that kind of thing. But when do you start to think about next season and the National League North and how you compete? Because, you know, we've seen with Buxton, we've seen with Scarborough, they weren't a million miles off this season in the National League North, were they? So, I mean, I'm imagining you'll be wanting to make similar strides next year.
Yeah, and strangely enough, 2 hours from the time we've recorded this, I have got a meeting with Mark this evening just to talk about players and retention and that kind of thing. So we'll be going through that this evening. And of course, we want to keep as much of the squad together as we can, because it's such a tight unit. And you know, if we can do that and keep the unit together going into the National League North, you know, with the work we've got to do on the ground, just to get that grade two that we need. We're not far off, but that will need some investment. So we've just got to temper our expectation a little bit. And you know, if we go to all the new grounds, play all the new teams, meet all the new people, get the ground done, you know, if we can get a safe mid-table position out of that, you know, I think that'll be a phenomenal season for us.
And how much are you looking forward to what's possible next year in the National League North?
Very much so. It's going to be really hard work, you know, which I'm not averse to that. It's the sort of thing I'm looking forward to getting stuck into every level of it, and you know, trying to make a fist of it. I think it's important that we get that out there to fans and get as many in, because you know, we will need them. And we think we can get four-figure crowds every week. We're going to be hosting the likes of you, Scunthorpe United, your Herefords, Kidderminsters. It would have been unheard of if you'd have said that 2 seasons ago, that they're the kind of teams we're going to be hosting. So I think it's important that, you know, we get that word out there and we get more people of the town on our side.
Well, Toby McCormack, chairman of Warrington Town, a big congratulations once again on achieving promotion. Big congratulations to Mark, Dave and all the coaching staff and all the players and everyone associated with the club. A big thank you for all your support over the years, supporting the NPL show. Big good luck and catch up again very soon.
No, great. Thanks, Ben. You know, a big thank you to yourself and all the guys that come on and, you know, discuss Warrington. And you know, we've been really, really honoured to be a part of it and the league itself.
Toby McCormack there, chairman of Warrington Town, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And a big congratulations to everyone at Warrington Town on that promotion. And also a big congratulations to Longeaton United. Commiserations to Stockton Town, but Longeaton United victorious in the playoff final in the East Division on Saturday afternoon. 2-2 the final score. It went to extra time and it remained all square as the playoff final went to penalties, and Longeaton United won the penalty shootout by 4-3. So Longeaton United, back-to-back promotions now, promoted to step three for the first time. And on Thursday, I caught up with a manager at Longeaton United. It's a big welcome back to the show now to Ian Deacon. Well, Ian, a big thank you for joining us and, well, big congratulations. What a result against Stockton Town. A very eventful afternoon, to say the least, winning 4-3 on penalties in the end. I mean, how was your Saturday up on Teesside?
Yeah, it was, I think for anybody watching the game, it was a good game to watch. I think there was two good teams going at each other, and then we've come out on the right side of it again on a penalty shootout. And said commiserations to Stockton after the game, spoke to their gaffer. You know, they gave it their all, and unfortunately has to be a loser on the day in the playoff final. And unfortunately for us, we've come on the right side of it. But you know, the lads were unbelievable, to be fair. To go up to Newcastle Tuesday, get a result there, we got back at 3:30 Wednesday morning, go to work, to pick themselves up and go again in that final. Being able to do that is something, you know, a fantastic achievement really. To go extra time and penalties again, you know, it's a hostile environment, there's a big crowd there. It was something that I think the lads had to dig deep, but they got the result in the end, and you know, I can't praise them highly enough. And it was a fantastic trip home on the bus with all the fans, and the players enjoyed themselves for sure.
And you factor in as well the crowd there, you know, 1,800 at Stockton. They take the lead with about 12 minutes or so left of the game. At that point, you know, they've got momentum on their side, but there you are, Luke Cox, digging deep and getting the all-important equaliser as well. But that was some effort to take it to extra time.
Yeah, unbelievable amount of effort went into that game. And, you know, again, I go back to it in terms of the character. And, you know, even when that second one went in, I kind of didn't panic. I was like, well, I know we're going to come again, because that's the way that they are. And, you know, that's the way I've drilled them. That's the way I am. I refuse to give up. Even when you feel like all hope is lost, and like you say, the crowd was on our back and the atmosphere was intense. And to be fair to him, they steadied the ship and they went up the other end and scored and got an equaliser. And I firmly fancied them. I said, I know you know, we train hard through the year. We're still running on a Tuesday night, a week before the playoffs. You know, their fitness is paramount, to be fair, because you only get a short amount of time in the building with them to work with in terms of training. So, you know, the fittest side in the league usually goes on and does well in it. And that's kind of what carried them through in the extra time. I knew they'd carry on and they didn't want to give up. And we had a chance to win it, a couple of chances around to win it. And in the end, their keepers made a good save. My keepers made some good saves. But I think it was just a general will to win. And like you say, Coxie's come up with some big goals for us this year. And that's the beauty of our team. There's goals coming from everywhere in the team. It's not just one person, although be it Jamie Walker's been phenomenal this year in terms of his goal tally from midfield. But I think, you know, that's the beauty of this team. We've got a strong squad, and, you know, a couple of the players that played Tuesday night had to come out the side just to try and combat a few of their strengths, and I thought that worked well. But I think it comes down to once it more on the day, and then my lads got the victory. So I can only give credit to them, to be fair, because they've gone out there and done it.
You certainly have done it. You've got promoted. And Ian, we've spoken probably about a year or so ago when we did the Welcome to the NPL shows. And here you are going up to step three. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels amazing, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of hard work goes in. And I think every manager or player that listen to this, especially on the non-playing side, will tell you how much effort gets poured into non-league football clubs in terms of from the staff and everybody around the place. So, you know, I'm delighted for the town. I'm delighted for the chairman and Jim and Nick and Dutch, everybody that works there, and the fans that have come and supported us all year on some lengthy trips. You know, they've always been with us. You know, we've always took 30, 40 fans wherever we've been. It's not a lot, but it means a lot to the players. And, you know, I'm glad we was able to reward them for that as well. And hopefully, like you say, you know, a year ago we were sat here talking, and, you know, I firmly believe we'd have a good chance of challenging and going up. Their workshop were absolutely fantastic this year. They deserve full credit for their win, because they were the best team in the league. But, you know, ultimately you've got to be in the playoffs, and then it's kind of a one game shootout. And we beat Haddon twice before that. We beat Stockton away and drawn once with them. So we knew we'd psychologically got the advantage in terms of we've already done that. It was just about who wants it more on the day. And so, yeah, I firmly believe when we spoke last time that we'd be up there and challenging. And even when we were 16th in the league, 17th around October, November time, I still firmly believe we'd have a go on a run and get in the playoffs. Very, very tough league, and probably one of the club's greatest achievements, to be fair, in their history.
Well, a big congratulations, Ian, to everyone at the club and yourself. And obviously, that takes you up to step three. Time of recording, we don't know whether you're going to be in the NPL or the Southern Central. I mean, when do you start to... How much thinking are you going to be doing for next season? Because I suppose it all depends on what league you're going to be in and how that dictates your recruitment, I suppose.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I said in my interview after the game, I was already thinking about what was going to happen next season as soon as that game had finished. I know you want to celebrate, but I suppose that's the way I am. I'm always thinking about the next steps, how I can improve, and myself included in that. So, yeah, we recruit players based on, to be honest with you, what kind of style of football I want them to play. You know, we've got a style and a way of playing, but we can also mix it as well. So we can do both. And I think it's about finding that balance in the team that, you know, you can go away to sometimes some hostile environments where maybe the pitches aren't so good. And you've got to play a little bit more direct, a little bit more in the air, more counter-attacking. Or if you go to a place where there's going to be more possession-based, and you have to have players that can do both. So that's kind of how I'll be looking at our recruitment. I've had conversations with players already in terms of coming in next season. Existing ones, obviously, are all going to get an opportunity to state their claim, and you know, I don't care how old they are, where they've been, what they've done. I'll judge it on what I see and what I feel is best for the team. And you know, it's difficult to obviously not being able to know currently what league we're in terms of the North or the South, but the North looks a really, really strong league. There's some high profile teams in there, as kind of this league was. It was very tough for us being the furthest southern. So it's going to be interesting to see what league the FA decide to put us in and how they shuffle it around. Hopefully we'll have some more local derbies. I think that's what you know, we've got obviously Ilkeston, Matlock, Mikulova, that's there. We'd love to be involved in them games because that's kind of, you know, we've not had many local derbies this year, so hopefully we'll be in their league. But whichever league we go in, we're going to give it our all again. But yeah, the planning's already started in terms of pitches being ripped up as a minute, being relayed with an irrigation and pop-up sprinklers. And so there's a lot of work going in behind the scenes in the infrastructure as well.
And what do you feel this means for the club to be... Because at some point, I think I said this to you last week, but at some point you're going to have to take a step back and go, we've achieved a lot here in such a short space of time. But here we are, Longington United will be at step three next season. I mean, how does that sound?
Yeah, it's massive for a club of our size, you know, in terms of, as I've always said in around the area, it's been a sweeping giant. And, you know, myself, I've been involved in four promotions in 4 years, two with Ilkeston and two with Longington now. So, you know, for us as Longington to be alongside the so-called giants who are around where we are, we're now punching at the same weight as them. And, you know, for the town, it's a big town. You know, there's a lot of people in it. It's a footballing town. It's right between Derby and Nottingham. So, you know, we'd hope that the fans now come out and support the team in numbers because they've been great so far and the fan base has grown. And, you know, it's really exciting for the club. The chairman's really excited. And he was in tears after the game. I'm sure he won't mind me telling you that and admitting it. You know, and we kind of had a little joke and saying, oh, it's going to cost us a lot of money now to go up in terms of we've got to really get going to go to work in the infrastructure in terms of, you know, making it the best facilities around in and around our area. And, you know, for the whole town, you know, you see there's some kids celebrating. They come up to watch us, some of the under-8s, under-9s, under-10s teams. They come up all the way to Middlesbrough to watch us and they celebrate with us on the pitch afterwards. And that's what it's about, you know. They'll look up to them players as heroes now and say, oh, you know, Jamie Walker, he was unbelievable. He's our favourite player. And that's the most important thing, that you inspire the younger kids. I mean, we've got 40-something junior teams at our club, that you want them inspired for the next generation. And, you know, seeing them achieve what they've done is nothing short of a miracle, going back to back with, I'll be honest with you, probably the smallest budget in the league by a considerable mile. But it just shows you, if you have that hard work, that togetherness, that team ethic, you can achieve anything. And, you know, it's massive for the football club as a whole, and we're really looking forward to playing at the highest level, I think, in this club's history. And, you know, who'd have thought it probably 2 years ago, not many. But I believed in it, the chairman believed in it, Jim believed in it. And we've got them there now, and it's about planning now to sustain at this level and moving forward, continuing to grow as a football club. So really exciting times.
No, good stuff. Well, Ian Deacon, manager of Longington United, a big, big, big congratulations on securing promotion. A job well done. And a big thank you for joining us throughout this season. Twists and turns of a competitive division, that's for sure. And all the best for the close season, and catch up again very soon.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. Thank you.
Ian Deacon there, manager of Longington United, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So congratulations to Longington United, commiserations to Stockton Town, but Longington United promoted to step three next season. Also promoted to step three next season will be Workington AFC, the Cumbrians victorious in the playoff final on Saturday by 2-1 over Runcorn Linnets. Commiserations to Runcorn Linnets, but Workington promoted to the NPL Premier Division for next season. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Workington. It's a big welcome back to the show to Danny Granger. Well, Danny, a big thank you for joining us, and big congratulations. What a result on Saturday afternoon. How was your day at Borough Park?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It really was. I think obviously the crowd turned up in the numbers, over 2,500 there, and then the boys putting a performance the way they did. Yeah, I can't ask for any more than what we got on Saturday, to be honest with you. I think it's what the boys have deserved after a slow start to the season. But yeah, there was four good teams in the playoffs, and anyone on the day could have won it. But I was just happy that we got the job done.
Yeah, you were taking on Runcorn Linnets, who had, I mean, some would call it an upset against Leek Town. I mean, like you say, all four teams in the playoffs very, very capable this season, that's for sure. But a tricky opponent on Saturday in the guise of Runcorn Linnets.
Yeah, very good team. I think obviously players there like Ryan Brook, Jamie Rainford scored a lot of goals this season. Well organised at the back. I think Danny in goals had the most clean sheets in the league. So we knew it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, Billy took over recently and got them playing really well again. And we knew it was going to be a tough game. But we kind of felt that semi-final against Leek for them might have took a lot out of them. And the longer the game went on, we felt like that we were starting to dominate it and getting on top. And like I say, we got what we deserved out of the game in my eyes.
The 90 minutes, I mean, how cagey, nerve-wracking was that 90 minutes? You know, finish 1-1 in the end, but I'm imagining either side didn't want to make a mistake.
No, that, I think that was it. I think there was moments in the game. I think we had two or three really good opportunities prior to us getting the second goal. Runcorn had a couple of goal mouth scrambles and things like that. But overall, I thought it was a game that probably in the second half onwards, we dominated. We dominated the second half and created numerous opportunities. I thought Runcorn were really well organised and hard to break down. They didn't give up many chances, but I think obviously we hit the crossbar. Danny made a couple of good saves and they had one off the line. So I felt like the longer the game was going on, it was going to come. And then obviously Runcorn get a couple of goal mouth scrambles and corners later on that you kind of think, oh, I hope it isn't one of them days. But like I say, I think it was two good teams going at it. I thought the Runcorn fans, our fans, everything was brilliant. I thought the way Billy and his team acted after the defeat in what was obviously a real disappointment for them was a real credit to them and the football club, because every single one of them came over and congratulated every one of our players and staff, and that takes a lot when you've obviously experienced the disappointment of just getting beat in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. Commiserations to Ron Conlinitz, but big congratulations, Danny, on that promotion. And I mean, have you had a chance to take a step back yet and think about what's finally been achieved? We could go back to the season just before COVID, where you were out in front up at the top of the division, and then obviously that season got cut short. Last season under Chris Wilcock, falling short in the playoffs, but Worker to have done it.
Yeah, I think obviously, like you say there, I think it's been a long time coming, to be honest with you. I think we've really felt a little bit of anger towards the last few seasons with everything that's gone on. So it was a big relief. I think it brings a freshness to everybody as well. The fans get a chance to go to new stadiums. The players get new challenges of different players they're coming up against. And like I say, different expectations as well. The last few years, we've been expected to be at the top end of the league. And I think obviously going into the next league up, it's going to be a challenge again, but we'll be preparing for and making sure that we're ready for it.
When does work start on preparations for next season? Assuming it's not already started, of course.
Yeah, it's already started, to be honest with you. We've sat down with the staff and we've gone through the squad and what we think we need to strengthen areas. We need to bolster, identified a few players that we'll speak to over the next few weeks. The players are away on their end of season due this weekend, so they'll enjoy that. We've got our presentation night next Friday night. And then after that, we'll sort of really get down to work and start making a few phone calls and starting putting things together for the start of pre-season, because no doubt it'll come round really quickly.
And obviously, it's been a few years since Workington were at step three. But, you know, when you go to Borough Park, you know, you see the attendance at the weekend, over 2,500 there on the west coast of Cumbria. It's a club ready for step three.
Yeah, it is. And I think obviously there's ambitions at the club with the new stadium and things like that as well. So we've got to match that on the pitch as well. I think, obviously, myself personally, I want to keep pushing the football club forward and taking it as far as we can. And that's something that we've sat down and spoke about already. It's a club that's ready for the next level. And like I say, we know it's going to be tough. The non-league is getting stronger every year. I said this in my post-match interview. Every year, every league is getting stronger. So we know it's going to be tough next year. We know that. There's no hiding away from it. But we're going in there full of confidence, full of momentum, and we'll go and have a right go at it and see where it can take us.
And what about you, Danny, as well? Because obviously you had unfinished business and you come back and you've done it. So you must be pleased.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. Obviously, like I say, I came here in my first season. I said I wanted to get them back to the next level, and we've done it, obviously, probably longer than what we wanted to do it. But we finally got there. And now it's just a case of now assessing what we need to improve on and off the pitch. To make sure that we can keep pushing and developing the club forward. That's the biggest thing for me, is that we want to keep pushing this club forward. As you say, the attendances are going up. I think next season we're bringing bigger clubs up to Borough Park. There'll be higher attendances. There's loads of new things that's going to happen for the football club. It's one that everyone's relishing, really, because it's a challenge that we've been waiting for and we've been set for the last three seasons.
And last question, Danny, just about, you know, one pre-season friendly at a time, one new signing at a time and all that, but how much are you looking forward to that challenge of taking Workington back to step three and making a splash next year in the NPL Premier Division? How much are you looking forward to that?
I can't wait, to be honest with you. These are the games that you want to be involved in. We said that
when we before the Clitheroe game. We had 38 games in the league. Let's go and finish it off and have two more big efforts, and we'll get to where we deserve. But overall, everyone at the club is excited for it, and I can't wait for August to roll around and we start it all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Danny Granger, manager of Workington, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Big, big congratulations to yourself, your coaching staff, all the players and everyone associated with the club for a tremendous season. And have a lovely summer and catch up for the brand new season.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Danny Granger there, manager of Workington AFC, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And finally, for this week's show, looking at the playoff winners from last weekend, let's go to the Midlands Division. Commiserations to Spalding United, but a massive congratulations to Hales Owen Town, victorious in the Midlands final at the Grove in front of a remarkable crowd, 3,250 there at Hales Owen Town for this playoff final. Hales Owen Town winning by 2-1 after extra time. Kieran Donnelly scoring a late equaliser to take the final to extra time, and then Hales Owen scoring the winner. So Hales Owen Town promoted back to step three for next season. Let's hear from their manager now. And on Thursday, I caught up with Paul Smith. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us, and big congratulations. What an afternoon at the Grove. Home advantage, you know, it does help. And wow, what a crowd and what an occasion. I mean, how was your Saturday?
Yeah, it was emotional. It was a roller coaster. At one point when we started the game, we were fantastic for 20 minutes and played some stuff that we'd been playing just recently, and we were right on top. But unfortunately, we didn't take advantage and score in that situation when we had four very good chances which could have put the game to bed. And fair play to Spalding, they stopped in it in that period. We got a little bit frustrated. You could feel the frustration in obviously 3,500 people there. You could feel the frustration creeping into them. And fair play to Spalding, they got a foothold into the game and were probably the better side then for an hour. And then we started to creep back into it, sort of the back end of the game. Got an equaliser, as you know, sort of last sort of minute of the game really, and took it into extra time. But once we got that equaliser, I then started to think that there was only going to be one winner. They looked tired. Obviously, we got the crowd back on our side and very vocal. And for me, we got our rewards in extra time.
Yeah, and a crowd like that, it's very much a double-edged sword. And when you get a late equaliser like Donnelly produced, that's when it really does tip the balance then at that point. But saying that, you've got it to extra time. How do you keep everyone calm and cool at that point to see the thing over the line the way you did?
Yeah, very difficult because the place was bouncing again. And then, you know, I've never heard a noise like it really when KD scored. And then ultimately the next sort of 10 minutes after that, it was just, I've never experienced a noise in a ground at any kind of level like there was in that moment then. So it was crucial just getting the boys in for the small team talk you're allowed to have between then and sort of the extra time, and just tell them that it's crucial just to stay calm, really. Don't get caught up in the emotion of the crowd. We haven't done anything yet. And I feel it'll be a mistake that could end up winning the game for somebody. So the concentration levels are crucial. But they seemed ready, Ben. They seemed like they were geared up then to go into extra time and go and take it to Spalding. And that's what we did. We were much the stronger side during extra time and got our just rewards. So, a fantastic day from start to finish, a mix of emotions. But ultimately, what we set out to do sort of 4 years ago, we've managed to finally achieve.
Yeah, I was going to mention that when you first took over, it was after, you know, a relegation, and it was about, you know, trying to bounce back. We've had the pandemic, we've had close-run title races, like what a title race it was last season. This season, the race hasn't been too bad either. But you've finally done it. So what does this mean, Paul, for everyone at the club, do you feel?
You can't really put it into words, really, what it means to the people, the two people at the top, Keith and Karen, deserve a hell of a lot of credit in what they've done and how they've rebuilt the club. And they deserve that, as do all the volunteers. There's hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, believe it or not, that put a hell of a lot of work and effort into that football club, and they deserve everything too. And then you've got the fans. So, like I said, it's a club ready to go up. I just hope that this is used now as a springboard And it's just the beginning, as you've seen yourself from afar, the setup of the football club now, the training facilities, the ground itself, the fan base that we've managed to build. It's a club geared to go higher now. So it's crucial the club don't rest on their laurels. It's crucial that we grab hold of and embrace where we are at the moment. But also crucial that we step on for me, and we look to go and go forward into the next division and look to try and progress in that one too. I don't think there's anything that should be feared, although it's a fantastic division if some of the restructuring I've seen is correct. It looks a brilliant division to be in. And it's crucial, like I said, this is used as a springboard to future successes for the club.
Yes, and obviously the promotion means the return of the Stourbridge game, which is a landmark fixture in that part of the world. And when do you start to think about the makeup of the squad for next season? Because I think you are going to be in that Southern League Premier, aren't you? So, I mean, when do you start to think about the makeup of the squad so you can, bounce into that division next year?
Yeah, just a little bit of water to go under the bridge before that, really. I've got a couple of meetings with the owners just to set out what they want to do, what I want to do. Obviously, I came into this, I had some problems losing my father and my father-in-law very quickly. It knocked me about, which is why I had to stand down. I came back into it probably a little bit earlier than I wanted to, but I did it for the love of the football club and come very, very close to Keith McKenna. So I just need to get my head around what I want to do, sit down with the club and work out what they're looking to do, and hope that we can crack on. So we've got to just get that sorted first. And then once that's sorted, which will be Monday or Tuesday next week, then obviously if I am in the post, I'll be looking to straight away, pretty much, to be looking to put things in place to start meeting players and try and hit the ground running nice and early.
And what's your sense on what's possible in the division above?
I don't think we can underestimate the division. It's a lot stronger than the one we've just come out of, which is crucial. But we also go into it as a big club ourselves. Yes, we've sort of been lower than some of these clubs, but we're a big club that's got a big history. And we've got probably a fan base that rivals or is bigger than the majority of sides that are going to be in this division. So with two owners that are looking to push on, with the fan base that we've got, I think we've got to be looking to for a top half finish and be looking to try and push playoffs in the first year, in my opinion, and then obviously just see what bounces on from that. But that's not underestimating the league at all. That's just realizing what we've got to our strengths, and if we can do that, then I think we can compete in the level.
And you mentioned, Paul, just that, you know, the dot in the I's, the crossing the T's that needs to happen before you start thinking about next season. But at some point, Paul, I'm imagining you've already taken a step back and gone, wow, we've actually done this. What do you feel about what's been achieved?
Yeah, just elated, really. Just about time. Like I said, we had a fantastic first season where COVID cut us short in the FA Trophy semi-final. We got to, and we couldn't play that one at home, and we should have won a league that year. Then the COVID second year, then just missed out last year. So it's been coming for a while, hasn't it? So it's almost relief, really, to finally get it across the line. And some might have said sort of 6 weeks ago when I first sort of came back into the door, we weren't going to get this done. We were struggling. We were in a bad place, in a real bad run of form. So the turnaround from that's been exceptional as well, and the players have got to take a hell of a lot of credit from that. And like you've said yourself, it probably hasn't sunk in yet, and I don't think it will for a while, but it's something now that can't be taken away from any of us, that we've managed to get this brilliant club back to step three where it belongs. And my only hope, as I said to you before, is that the club harness this, embrace it and look to kick on again, because they've got all the tools to go and do that.
Well, Paul Smith, manager of Hillsborough Town, a big congratulations to everyone at the club. And, well, we should also say a big thank you to everyone at Hillsborough who've joined us whilst you've been members of the Northern Premier League. But unless there's some remarkable geographical realignment, we send you off back to the Southern League with our best wishes, and all the best for next season.
You're a star. Thank you ever so much for having me on.
Paul Smith there, manager of Hillsborough in Town, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Well, that's it for this special edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Next week, we'll be back with our end of season review, so look out for that one. But a big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I'm Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.